Chapter 4. Break Out the Marshmallows. After dinner is free play. We return to the bunk to hang out and eat barbecue chips, brownies, and peanut M&Ms. "Are there ever going to be activities?" I ask, as my hand turns multicolored from the candied chocolate. I am lying on Allison's bed, my feet propped up against the ladder. "Or do we just get to hang out and eat all summer?" "The first day is always a get-to-know-you day," Morgan explains. "And don't get too used to the food. They give us 2 days with the junk we brought from home, and then they toss the rest."
"They don't toss it," Allison says. "They put it in a big garbage bag and take it to the counselor's lounge where they snack on it all summer."
"That is so unfair," Poodle says with a sigh. "I can't wait until we're staff and can steal our kids' food. Allison, pass me another one of your mom's brownies."
"Sure. Want one, Carly?"
Carly is on the floor in sit-up position.
"No, thanks."
Huff, huff.
"I'm on a diet."
"You can be on a diet once they've confiscated our food," Allison says. "Right now, you should enjoy the brownies." Carly ignores her.
"I'm not letting them take all my stuff," Morgan says. "No way. I'm finding a better hiding place this year."
If only I had stuff to hide. At least they share. I reach over and take another handful of Allison's M&Ms.
"Can't you just stash the stuff in your laundry bag or something?"
Morgan snorts. "Please. That's the first place they look."
Allison nods. "Last year, Anderson. Rachel, have you met Anderson yet?"
"Nope. He's good friends with Raph. Anyway,
he uses way too much hair gel,"
Morgan says.
"Anyway, he hid his cell in an empty deodorant can, but his counselor heard it ringing, and it got confiscated."
"I agree with the cell phone rule," Poodle says. "They ruin the camp experience."
"Attention all campers and counselors. Attention all campers and counselors. It is now the end of free play. Please proceed to upper field for the annual first night's campfire."
"Speaking of camp experiences," Allison says, "this is one of my faves."
Morgan smirks.
"Just don't forget to bring a sweatshirt."
"School is done. It's time for summer fun. Canoes and mosquitoes, too. Back to camp where the friends are true."
Since I don't know any of the words, all I can do is bop my head and clap along with the 350 counselors and campers who are all singing, a.k.a. screaming, at the tops of their lungs around the massive campfire. Somehow, our bunk has managed to score seats on the ground only a few rows back from the fire, so even though it's cool out, the flames are warming my face. Anthony, the head counselor, and an enormously tall and stunningly attractive olive-skinned man in his late 20s, is leading us along on his guitar.
"W-O-O-D, a home away from home for me. L-A-K-E, there's nowhere we'd rather be."
I spot Mary sitting diagonally from me with her bunk. Instead of pretending to sing along, she's writing in some book. Writing. At a campfire. How can she even see?
"Woodlake counselors are the best. If only our cabins weren't a mess. Koalas, monkeys, lions, and CITs. Oscar, can we have more cookies, please? On days of rain or days of sun, from the bridge to lower fields, bunk one. We're glad we're here, but we want to stay all year. In the fall, we go our separate ways, counting down the days with longing and heartache until we're back at Camp Woodlake."
Allison and Poodles put their arms around my shoulders and sway,
and I join in for the final chorus. W-O-O-D, a home away from home for me. L-A-K-E, there's nowhere we'd rather be. Everyone erupts into cheers and applause. Anthony waves his guitar in the air, and the hollering gets even louder. Even the Lion Boys, including Raph, who are standing a few rows behind us, are cheering.
Welcome back to camp, everyone, Anthony says, his voice echoing through Upper Field. It's going to be a killer summer.
More deafening cheers.
Time to introduce you to this year's head staff. Welcome back, Abby, the returning head of Koalas.
All the little kids cheer.
Hi, everyone,
says the tiny 20-something in an unexpectedly booming voice. She stands next to Anthony near the fire.
Go, Koalas, go!
The kids all wave their tiny hands in the air and cheer.
How adorable, Poodle says to me.
So adorable, I say. Second session, when starter camp begins, Prissy will be sitting with them.
Now say hello to Mitch, Anthony says. Head of monkeys.
The 10, 11, and 12-year-olds cheer. Mitch is Will and Raph's older brother, the only Kasravi brother I haven't dated. He looks like them, too, all dark, brooding, and sexy.
Monkeys are going to rock the house,
Mitch announces, punching the air.
And we all know Janice, Anthony continues, the head of the lion unit.
All us lions whoop and scream.
Hello, everyone,
she says, standing up and looking around anxiously, her lips still blue, the only unit head with her clipboard in hand.
Give a cheer for Hauser, the returning head of CITs.
The CITs all leap up, wave, and howl.
And for Rose, the head of Waterfront.
It's suddenly quiet around the fire. Seriously, I can hear the crickets. Apparently, no one likes Rose. Eventually, some of the lifeguards and the other head staff clap half-heartedly.
She's awful, Allison whispers to me. My brother had her job last year, and everyone loved him.
She's in her late teens, has clear porcelain skin, a tiny pink mouth, and glossy blonde hair, and is wearing a whistle around her neck. She doesn't look that bad, but what do I know? Rose glares at the campers.
Thank you, Rose. Now, please give a big round of applause for the lady you never want to see, Dr. Dina.
A middle-aged woman with big brown hair joins the line, and there's more cheering.
And finally, put your hands together for Oscar Hahn, our extraordinary camp chef.
A grandfatherly Chinese man dressed in an all-white chef's outfit stands up and waves hello. The crowd goes wild.
Oscar! Oscar! Oscar!
He makes the world's best lasagna, Allison tells me.
Bzz, bzz, bzz.
A mosquito attacks my ear, and I wave it away. Damn, I forgot to douse myself in bug repellent. Anthony raises his hand to quiet us.
We are here to ensure that you have a terrific summer. For the last 106 years, this camp has been a summer home to campers of all ages.
Lots of cheers.
But for us to keep you happy and safe, you have to follow the rules. Screw the rules!
One of the lion boys hollers, and everyone laughs.
Very funny, Bloom, Anthony says. I'm hoping you'll stay clear of the boats this year.
More laughter. Last year, Bloom, Raph, Colton, and Anderson put all the canoes and kayaks in the pool, Allison explains. My brother thought it was hysterical, but of course he had to zap them. I have a feeling their zap isn't the same as my zap.
What's zap? I ask, turning to get a look at this Bloom character. He's kind of scruffy in his ripped jeans, layered shirts, and backward hat. He's standing right next to Raph. I turn around quickly before Raph sees me and thinks I'm staring at him. Not cool.
If you're zapped, you're grounded.
So, as I was saying, rules. Flagpole, Anthony continues, be on time. Rest hours are to be spent inside your bunks. If you're not at your scheduled activity, your counselor must know why. You're on your own for free play, but no woods and no boys and girls bunks or vice versa. Ever.
Boo!
Scream the lion boys. Anthony flashes his blinding smile.
No pool or beach without staff supervision. And curfews are there for a reason and must be followed. Koalas, after evening activity, your counselors will take you to snack and then straight to bed.
Boo! Shriek the koalas.
Monkeys, you have free time, known here at Woodlake as lawn time until 10:15. Lions, you have lawn time until 10:15.
Excellent. Free time to make out with Raph. Why is it called lawn time? I ask Allison.
The lions used to hang out on the lawn.
What lawn?
They tore it up when they built the pool, but the name stuck.
The final rule is absolutely no smoking anywhere on the campgrounds.
The crowd gets quiet.
After last year, this rule has become even more important. As many of you know, one of our campers...
A lion named Jordan Brown, Poodles whispers to me,
snuck cigarettes into camp, tossed a lit one into his cabin's garbage pail, and set it on fire. The entire porch was burnt down and had to be rebuilt. Luckily, no one was hurt, but this year, we are implementing a no-tolerance cigarette policy. Any camper caught with cigarettes will be sent home immediately. No exceptions. Got it?
We all nod.
What happened to Jordan Brown? I ask.
Bzz, bzz, bzz.
I slap the bug away again with the back of my hand.
He wasn't asked back as a CIT, Allison whispers, and his parents had to pay for damages.
If you have cigarettes here, you should give them to head staff when we come to collect your food,
Anthony says. So they can smoke them in the parking lot, Morgan grumbles from the other side of Allison.
Annoying that they can smoke and we can't.
You shouldn't smoke as it is, Allison tells her, wrinkling her nose. It's disgusting.
I don't, Morgan cries. But I should be allowed to if I wanted to.
Anthony picks up his guitar again.
Now, let's get back to our singing. Does everyone know the words to One Tin Soldier?
Everyone knows the words.
Everyone except me.
I wonder if anyone would notice if I zapped myself up a songbook so I could follow along. Listen, children, to a story that was written long ago. I look around the crowded campfire. Too many people watching. In light of my previous experience, namely zapping up my new wardrobe, I think I should probably practice a bit more in private before I attempt magic in front of the entire camp population.
Bzz, bzz, bzz.
Oh, for goodness sake. Mosquito be gone. I feel a rush of cold. Then the little bugger disappears mid-buzz in a puff of purple smoke.
What was that? Poodles asks, her head snapping back.
It worked.
I didn't see anything, I say quickly.
I know I should feel bad for zapping him to Never Never Land, but I so don't.
Weird, Poodle says, shaking her long hair.
Wild, says Allison. Wonderful, I think, but don't say.
Lights out in 10 minutes, Deb announces from the front of the bunk. If you need anything, I'll be in my room.
Let's get washed, Allison says. She shimmies off my bed, where we were chatting, as I, a bit fearfully, climb down the ladder. We grab our toothbrushes, toothpaste, hand towels, and face cloths from our shared blue shelf, stuff our socked feet into our flip-flops, hurry through the cubby room and into the bathroom, and then wait behind Cece, Trishel, Poodles, and Carly for our turns at any of the four sinks.
Yowza! I shriek when I'm finally up. Does the water ever warm up?
Nope.
I practically freeze my face off while washing it. I quickly brush my teeth, retreat into the cubby room to change into oversized flannel PJs, courtesy of the Gap, and climb into bed.
So, Carly, what's the story with you and Bloom this year? Poodles asks.
Morgan starts making kissing noises.
Shut up!
Carly orders.
You going to dump him if he tries to French you again?
Morgan asks, laughing. The girls crack up. It's weird being plopped down into a new group of friends with all this backstory.
I dumped him because he always had a crust of spit around his mouth, and the idea of kissing him made me want to vomit,
Carly explains, sitting up in her bed.
But I'll have you know that I had a boyfriend this year, Michael Miller, who was a very good kisser.
Ooh, la la, says Poodles.
Was there tongue in the kiss?
Morgan asks.
You are so gross,
Carly shrieks.
Morgan laughs. No tongue, then.
It's none of your business. Anyway, I'm not interested in Bloom.
You're going to break his heart, Allison says. Poodles raises an eyebrow.
Why don't you go for him this summer, Allison?
Me?
Yeah, you. Do you like him?
Morgan turns to Poodles.
Why are you always playing matchmaker?
Why not?
What about the spit?
Carly asks.
He does not have spit issues, Poodle says. I kissed him when we were monkeys, remember? He's a sweetheart.
Then why don't you hook up with him again?
Morgan asks. Poodle smiles mysteriously.
I already have my eye on someone.
Who? They all ask.
Harris, she says, lowering her voice.
Of course I have no idea who Harris is, but I don't want to be annoying and butt into their catch-up.
You can't go out with Harris, Allison tells her. He's staff.
So what?
It's against the rules, Allison says.
Oh, whatever. He's only 17, and people do it all the time. He was totally flirting with me at the campfire today.
That is so not fair, Morgan complains. If you're going to hook up with Harris, I'm going to hook up with Will.
Slight difference there, Carly says. Poodles has a chance with Harris, and you have no chance with Will.
Allison, want me to talk to Bloom for you? Poodles asks. Carly looks disturbed.
Wait a sec. You just said you aren't interested. I know, but still, this is all kind of sudden.
I'm not interested in Bloom, Allison says. I like boys who are more studious.
Morgan snorts. Nerdy, you mean?
Bookish.
Deb interrupts them by turning off the lights. Good night, everyone, Carly says. Poodles.
Good night, ladies.
Morgan.
Good night, horn dogs.
Allison.
We're not horn dogs.
Morgan. I was talking about myself.
Everyone laughs.
Teddy says good night,
Carly pipes up in a squeaky voice.
Morgan groans. You're not going to talk in that teddy bear voice every night again this summer.
Of course she is, Poodle says. It's part of her charm. Did you see her new bear? He's wearing a tuxedo.
He's not a bear, Carly says. He's a penguin.
You seriously need a life, Morgan tells her.
Missed you guys, Carly says. Missed you too,
the other girls sing back. And then Allison adds, and we're glad you're here, Rachel. Moonlight streams through the blindless windows, casting a silver glow over the floorboards. I'm glad I'm here, I say. The bunk is so quiet. Too quiet. I hope I'll be able to fall asleep without the sound of honking New York taxis. Squeak, scrape. Every time any of the girls move, creaks echo through the room. Ah, I think, that's better. I turn onto my side, smiling to myself.